This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Wednesday. You know the date. It's April 21st, 2021.
Sure it is.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. The other 19 and a half, that's your responsibility. Listen, Yankees broke a losing streak. Mets got shut down in a cold Wrigley Field. But the story today, the story to start this baby off, has to be your New York Knickerbockers. It's now become startling.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. It is a thing. So they've won 7 in a row. They beat the Hornets last night. And take the time to listen to what I'm about to say.
Go ahead.
They're playing tonight the Atlanta Hawks for the right to be the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference, which means that if they hold on to that 4th seed, and there's no guarantee they're going to do that because there's still many games remaining, they would have home court in their first round playoff series. So you could give me Quinn Snyder and what a job he's done, but there has to be an investigation if anybody other than Tom Thibodeau is the coach of the year in the NBA, because you look at the roster that Quinn Snyder has with the Jazz, and then you look at the roster that Tom Thibodeau has with the Knicks, and it's startling. It's absolutely startling, the job that he's done there. 32-27. Who had that? Vegas didn't have that. Their over-under was 22. They've blown that out of the water. If they win 4 more games, they're guaranteed a .500 season. This is a team that has been in the dumpster for most of the last 20 years. And think about it, guys. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. What fan base deserves this more than the Knicks fan base?
Right,
don't give me the Jets. The Jets, in recent memory, went to 2 straight AFC championships. The Knicks have had nothing for 20 years. They had 1 playoff series win. It has been so abysmal. And now this, out of nowhere, in a season where Thibodeau just took over and is starting to implement what he wants to do, to me, it's mind-boggling, and it's startlingly fun. It's a lot of fun. The Knicks fans must be thrilled. They have outplayed every expectation that I had for them.
Yeah, now they're going to go on a long West Coast swing, so I wouldn't be surprised that maybe that record comes down a bit and that might end up costing them the 4 seed. But the fact that we're even having this conversation this deep into the season. Now, we went into the season, maybe they could get into the playoffs, right? It was only a couple of weeks ago we were talking to Mike Breen when they were like hovering around that 6 or 7 spot where, you know, how would you feel if they missed the playoffs? He said, I wouldn't be, because it really wasn't about the playoffs this year, which I thought was a little ridiculous because I think at that time they already established themselves as a playoff team. But that's how far this team has come, where the playoffs, they're in. They're in. And now they can dream about avoiding the play-in altogether and actually go up as a legit playoff team and possibly be a 4 seed?
Well,
that's incredible.
And, I mean, 2 things. Number one, if you talk about them being a 4 or 5 seed, you can start talking about them winning a series.
Oh, yeah.
A series with Atlanta, which at this rate, there's a solid likelihood that it's either New York in the 5 and Atlanta in the 4, or New York in the 4 and Atlanta in the 5.
Right.
And there's no reason they can't win that series. And on top of that, you know, I just felt like literally two weeks ago, when asked who was the bigger story in New York, the Knicks or the Nets, you know, I said, well, it's now the Nets because we know who the Knicks are. We found their ceiling. They're a .500 team. It's a nice story. That's it. That was 2 weeks ago. Now with this winning streak, I was wrong. We don't know their ceiling. This could be a team that wins a playoff series. Hey,
And as far as the fan base is concerned, Michael, I'm so happy for them. I really, really am, okay? Because you talk about the fans that have suffered, and probably the ones that have suffered the most other than the Knicks fans or Jet fans. But how many phone calls would we take during a bad Jet loss, a bad Jet season, of fans calling saying they're done? They're not rooting for this team anymore. They're done. I'm done with the Jets. I can't deal with it anymore. Can't do it. Right? How many times I take those calls in the post game doing the Jets all those years? Oh, this is it, Don. I'm done. This is the last straw. I'm out. With all the suffering this Knicks fan base has ever gone through, I never heard any Knicks fan say I'm done. As a matter of fact, sometimes they were overly optimistic. And they still filled the building, and I understand a lot of those fans were tourists, but the fact is, no matter how bad it got for the Knicks, we start bashing the Knicks, phone calls of defending the Knicks. Bad loss, they'll find a way to win. Jeremy Lin is going to the Hall of Fame. This team's going to beat the Heat. You know, they always looked optimistic, even though this team continued to kick dirt in their face. This fan base still believed, and now they've got a reason to believe. I'm so happy for them. So happy for them.
And remember, you know, a month ago, we're singing the praises of the Nets. Because the Nets are extraordinary when they're healthy, which means that they haven't been extraordinary in a while. And, you know, the setback yesterday with Harden certainly was startling. We had that on ENN toward the end of the show. And we might not see him till the playoffs. But the Knicks fans never wavered. And the Knicks outrated the Nets on TV. Knicks fans don't waver. They are a solid fan base. And I'm going to give you something to believe even more with the Knicks. Part of their strength is the fact that they're such a good defensive team. And defense don't slump. It just doesn't, man. It doesn't slump.
Well, it doesn't go cold.
It doesn't go cold.
It's an effort
shots,
thing.
You could have bad. I mean, R.J. Barrett had a couple of bad games, but the defense didn't stop. It's like speed doesn't go into a slump. Defense doesn't go into a slump because defense is about effort and technique, and that's what Thibodeau has taught this team. Look at what they've done. Their center, essentially, is a two-headed monster of Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson. Certainly not in the NFL or the NBA elite. But he turned Julius Randle into a star. He has certainly had R.J. Barrett take the next step. He's used everybody else beautifully. Burks, Bullock. I mean, these are not great players. Derrick Rose is nowhere near the player he was when he was an MVP with the Bulls. But he knows what Thibodeau wants. This guy has done one of the best coaching jobs we have ever seen in New York. Because after a while, you just become immune to the losing. And every year we just entered an NBA season expecting for the Knicks to stink. Yeah, we got that one season with Woodson when they won 54 games. Okay, for the most part, they were horrible. Horrible. And we expected it. And we liked it. Because that was the Knicks. And the Knicks fans still stood by them. As Don said, if they won two in a row, they were planning a parade. What are they doing now?
The whole world is messed up with, you know, how many fans could be in the stands and arenas and ballpark. I'm so sorry that the Knicks, the way they've played, cannot experience a full-bore, crazy Madison Square Garden with 19,000-plus in there. That place would be going absolutely ballistic. I got 2,000 about a game, and it still sounds loud in there. But you know, people are watching. People love the Knicks. They never, ever turned away with all of the toxicity that was there. The things that they did and the Isaiah Thomas error, I'm not mispronouncing that, everything. They've done everything wrong. Phil Jackson, the saboteur. David Fizdale, dreadful coach, dreadful. Big recruiter. Got no one. No one. But here they are. They finally hire the guy who for his whole life has wanted this job, and he has taken it and run with it. He looks like he's in pain on the sideline. Looks like he can't walk. Looks like he's never happy. But then when we have players on, they say he's a great guy. He's always laughing. He should be laughing. He should be smiling ear to ear. Jim Dolan finally got it right. And let's give credit to Leon Rose because Dolan hired Rose. And I think Rose had a connection. I know Rose had a connection with Thibodeau. And boom, he hired him, and the whole thing has changed. Because now
This is the stage that the Nets were in that made themselves attractive to big-time free agents. They're now in this stage. Everybody in the NBA is noticing this. Everybody. You can't not. They're doing this with a modicum of talent. There is nothing extraordinary about their talent. Nothing. Julius Randle, top 15 player in the NBA this year. He is. He's going to be on all-NBA team, probably the third team, but that means he's one of the top 15 players in all of the NBA. Did you think he was going to be that last year? He's never, ever, ever played in a playoff game. He's carried this team. RJ Barrett, oh, he's not Ja, he's not Zion. He's actually a pretty good player. Maybe he'll never be those two guys. And everybody else fills their role. I mean, they joked about it. Julius Randle joked about it. We're 15. They are 15. They're 15 guys that play together like each other. Randle wrote a story today in the Players Tribune. He said, never been on a team like this where they're all pulling the rope in the same direction. There's no petty jealousies. There's nobody has their own agenda. It's great. Seven games in a row. I didn't think this team had it in them. This is the longest winning streak since March 2018 when they won eight in a row. And if they could win their eighth in a row tonight, wow, what a seismic change in the NBA and in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks, the fourth seed? Because the Knicks could win, as Peter said, a 4-5 game. They could win a fourth seed, 5-seed game. They could. And then all of a sudden, you know what you're looking at? You might be looking at the Knicks against the Nets. How much would this city explode? And the pressure would be on the Nets, not on the Knicks. Nets have been built to win this year. If they got knocked off by the Knicks, I mean, they couldn't even show their face in New York City.
And by the way, you're talking about a team who at that point, we all agreed yesterday, we probably won't see James Harden in this regular season again.
Yeah.
So you may have a team that hasn't gotten to gel at all against a team that is playing their best basketball and completely playing as a unit. I'm not saying it's likely, but are you telling me that what if the Nets are only 2 of 3 and they haven't had a lot of time together and the Nets and the Knicks are rolling? Who knows?
Here is Thibodeau when he was asked, did you ever think that this team was capable of this?
I never really look at it that way. I did think we would be able to become successful if we did the right things. Understanding, I think, what goes into winning. And if you go step by step, and as I mentioned, the bubble was very beneficial towards for us, just in terms of getting to know all the players and starting to put the system in, but just seeing the commitment that they were willing to make. And then I thought it was important for us to go step by step, be a great practice team first and start there. And once you do that, if you practice well, you'll play well.
You always hear about process. He's about the process, man. He does not look three games forward. He's looking tonight at the Atlanta Hawks. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And how was their practice? How was their walkthrough? This guy is all about the process. You know, it works. It works, guys.
And I was worried about them getting the sixth seed because I said, you know, as time goes on, the Heat and the Celtics are going to figure it out, right? And for the most part, they have. I mean, the Celtics have won 8 of 10. Miami's played better. They're above 500. But because the Knicks continue to win, it hasn't been an issue. They're still ahead of them. So they're getting pushed here. You know, they didn't luck into this. They didn't back into this. They're getting pressure from the Heat. They're getting pressure from the Celtics. And yet they continue to win. And now they put the Hornets in their rearview mirror. It wasn't that long ago. It was like, can they pass the Hornets for 6? The Hornets have now dropped to the play-in at 8. And now the Knicks are 5, eyeballing 4. And that's going to be important now, too. Now it was avoid the play-in. Get the 6th seed. Well, now you want to get that 4 or 5 seed so you don't have to play the Bucks in the first round, right? You can be the biggest believer you want. That's going to be tough. But the Hawks? Yeah, that's going to be tough too, but much more doable. So there's reason. That 8-game, I think it's 8 games on the road, is going to be a bear. You got the Clippers. You've got the Lakers. You've got the Memphis at home that's going to be tough. But, you know, the way this team is playing, they just keep surprising you. Maybe they can hold their own on that road trip.
Now, you guys realize that we're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. $10,000 a month. So later in this hour, be listening for the KCast Sounder. See ya! See ya! See ya! And be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. I think we should let some Knick fans gloat, talk, luxuriate. What do you think?
Yes.
Let's go to Mustafa in Brooklyn. Mustafa, start it off.
Not Brooklyn. No way. I don't know how you mess that up. I don't want anything with Brooklyn. But you mentioned
where are you from?
No, I'm not. No. I'm not saying that you want Brooklyn. But if they played Brooklyn, the city would be gripped.
No. Yeah, I agree with that. It'd be awesome. Something that is constantly brought up is the 2012-2013 season. Something that didn't feel right about that season was we had a whole bunch of old players, and it felt like it wouldn't last. This feels like the start of something special, and I'm just so excited for the Knicks. And I just can't wait to see what Dibs, World Wide West, Leon Rose. I'm just really excited. It feels awesome.
Well, it should. I mean, it's kind of neat. It's fun, and it's amazing, is what it is. Let's go to Brandon. He's in Charlotte. Brandon.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to point out two crazy things to me. One, real quick. RJ Barrett earlier this season had an 0-for-21 3-point streak.
Yeah.
We all wondered if he would ever knock down that shot, and then the same season he's turned into a lethal catch and shoot 3-point shooter. So just
and also, how about his free throw shooting? It's amazing how he's improved.
Yeah. All across the board, he's improved his shooting so much just from the start of the season. And the craziest thing for me, I'm a 27-year-old lifelong fan. Yesterday, for the first time ever, I said, I can't watch this team anymore, and turned off the Yankee game to watch a Knicks team that I thoroughly enjoy, that's a really good team, that's fun to watch.
Well, I mean, personally, I hate hearing that, but I could certainly understand. I mean, the Yankees and the Braves, it was 1-1 going into the eighth inning, so there wasn't a lot of offense. And, you know, Yankees won a game because they scored on a wild pitch and a bases-loaded walk. They were 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position, so their offensive woes weren't solved. But they got very, very good pitching from their starter and their relievers. But, yeah, I could see that. I mean, I'm gonna check on the ratings, Don. There's so many things on yesterday. The Rangers and the Islanders. You have the Mets and the Cubs later. The Yankees and the Braves. You've got the Knicks, and it'd be interesting to see how the ratings broke down.
Hey, listen, it's nowhere. Listen, the Yankees aren't playing well, but you know you're talking about April baseball as opposed to now. You know, these are meaningful Knick games. They are. They're very meaningful.
Yep.
Not just making the playoffs, but just moving up in the standings. Who you're going to match up against? It's been a long time, and that last caller was right too. You know, we were a part of that 12-13 team that won 54 games, went to the second round of the playoffs, but they were an older team. I don't think anybody thought they were winning a championship, but we didn't know how sustainable it was. They're doing this with such an excellent future. So even if it doesn't happen the way you want it to this year, there's every reason it can happen again next year. There's not a bunch of mercenaries on this team, older players. There's a young crop of guys with a really good coach that no matter what ends up happening this year, there's still going to be reason to believe it's going to get even better.
Let's go to Mike in Seabright. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, just trying to breathe here. Allergy season's full effect in Central Jersey. But
see, I wonder. No, I'm glad you said that, Mike. I'm glad. I started to think yesterday, am I getting sick because I felt all scratchy? But I guess it's really bad allergies, right?
Oh, throat, eyeballs. Breathing, it's a nightmare. But yeah, you're good.
All right.
But it's good to see the Knicks get better, and they're moving in the right direction. But the way I'm thinking about it, I like this scrappy team. I like these overachievers. 2 years down the road, if we're just getting the best of the best, these paid assassins, I don't know. That's so far ahead. But it just doesn't feel the same. If that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. I think all fans like homegrown guys, although Julius Randle's not a homegrown guy. R.J. Barrett is, Quickley is, and we'll see. But, you know, in order for the Knicks to take that next step, unless they really fall into it in the draft and pick, you know, and Antetokounmpo with the 15th pick, but that happens, what, once every 20 years? Then they're going to have to get those paid assassins. That's the next step. That was the next step for the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets were a nice little team. They played hard. Kenny Atkinson had them doing all the right things, but they weren't going to win a championship until two guys decided to come here, and then everybody in the NBA wanted to come here.
But I'll tell you this. The way it's set up right now, whoever comes here, whatever big free agent signs here, they're going to have to learn how to play Thibodeau basketball. Right? They're going to have to play defense. Like, I don't think it's going to go the way it does in Brooklyn, where you've got, you know, Nash was chosen by the players. I mean, Tom Thibodeau is the reason why this team is where they are. So any player that comes here, I think, is going to have to realize they're going to have to play his type of basketball. Why would you want to change it?
Now, I got to ask you this, Don. You know I love you, right?
Yes.
So I'm looking at the screen. I mean, your hair is now out of control. You've been vaccinated. Why don't you go to Kaleidoscope? What are you waiting for?
I'm really enjoying this.
Really?
Really.
I got a haircut today. I actually went to a barbershop.
I'm enjoying this. This takes me back to my youth.
I mean, you could actually have a ponytail.
I like the way this looks.
I got to go look now.
Why aren't you on TV, Peter? What's wrong?
Yeah, there's always something with you.
I'm not on TV?
No, there you are. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Let me take a good look at Don.
It's unsettling.
I mean, it's
his hair
so
is below his collar.
Yeah, it's very Melrose. Very.
No, it's past Melrose. It's Jed Clampett.
Well, just Jed Clampett, really.
I don't know, Don. I know you don't care, and you're your own man, and you're not going to give a damn. But I don't.
Why can't I do stuff for me?
No, you should. No.
I don't know if this is good, though, Michael. And I'm glad you brought it up, because whether Don wants to accept what we say or not, this is something the family all needs to discuss.
Well, I think it's good that we have it on the record, which is what you're saying, Peter. So it's on the record that we think it looks a little unkempt, but you shouldn't do anything.
It's not. That's the thing. Look at the top. I've got it kempt.
Yeah, but how long do you want it to go? Do you want it to go to the bottom of your waist? I mean, are you Willie Nelson?
I always wanted Geddy Lee hair.
Okay, you're headed there.
All right, why don't we run up the poll? See what the fans think. That's what I want to get back.
You don't have to run anything up the poll. You have to run upstairs and ask Nancy what she thinks.
Well, she's obviously okay
right now, but I think she understands that, you know, it's something I'm going through right now, and let me work through it.
Going through?
Yeah, work through. That's
the fact that I like it, and she's hoping that eventually I stop. I think there'll be a moment, and when that moment comes, you know, I'll cave. But so far, that hasn't happened. So run it up the poll. See what the audience says. Do they like my hair or not?
Do they like the hair this
Don,
long?
Don, can you give us a full profile? Do you mind? Like, turn it to the side. Let us really see. Now, I won't see it, of course, for 3 or 4 minutes, but when I see it.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. It's unsettling.
How far back are we
talking, Michael? It's well below the collar. Well below. It's almost like the upper back. He could really make a ponytail. He looks disgusting like this.
I'm waiting. I'm very excited
to see
this.
And you know what's amazing,
profile.
Too? The front of his hair is gray, and the back of the hair is still brown. It's like he's got a two-tone mullet.
A two-tone mullet? You do not hear that every day.
So
I'm like
Andrew,
Pepe Le Pew.
Andrew, here it is. Run this up to Paul. Should Don keep the mullet? Yes. No. And Michael K's a bad guy. So that's always our, you know, our poll.
No, because that messes things up. Just straightforward. Like the hair, yes or no.
All right, there you go on ESPN. TMKS ESPN.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you finally see it on your TV?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Don, I when you go back and watch what's going on here.
I was watching it.
You saw that?
Yeah, I see it every day.
And
I
you're
want
okay
it longer.
It. You're okay with it.
I love it.
Wow. You're also setting, you know, an example for your children. They think that's okay.
Have you seen the kid's hair?
I know the kid's hair is very long. But that looks cute on kids. You're not a kid, and you don't look cute right now.
Wow.
It's unsettling.
This is a lot to take in.
I walked into Junior's place, and I said, give me the summer look. He really went down to the nub. And Don's got this hair that you could actually, like, braid.
You look very formal tonight, Michael. Is there a funeral after the game?
No, it's a big game. Big game. You've got to start a winning streak now, yeah.
Oh, so you got to dress up because you look very formal.
Yeah, it's a tux.
Because the bats came alive on the bases loaded walking the wild pitch.
I've got a pineapple tie, brand new pineapple tie.
Oh, beautiful.
Which is good luck. Pineapple's supposed to be good luck.
I hear that a pineapple tie after an eighth inning wild pitch victory could set things on fire.
That's right. You see how this is going to affect Kluber now. Anyway, we'll continue. We'll talk, obviously, more Knicks. A lot of people want to talk. Spike is there. It's amazing that Spike called in. Omar, Eric, Frankie, all you guys.
Wow.
We'll get to you. We'll get to you. I promise. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg, Don's Hair, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Peter, we've made the classic mistake, the two of us. We really have.
What's that?
We could put a poll up, right?
Right.
Where it says, Don is skinning small farm animals alive in his basement right now.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's cool? And if it's Don, of course, we love Don. It's cool. Everybody will defend Don. That's just the way it is.
I thought about that the second we did it. This probably won't be a real...
No, because people are they're seduced by Don for some reason.
And early on, people are saying they like the hair.
Yeah. Tony ABC goes, Michael, I think Don eats cornrows. Vinny Cousin goes, Don looks like he should be on tour with the Doobie Brothers singing Taking It to the Streets. Kobe Bean Burner goes, starting to look like Jeff Bridges in True Grit. We got to get you an eye patch, Don. That could work. Then Andrew Bax, I think I'm saying Andrew's name right, said, don't listen to Michael K. Probably wishes he could grow out his hair below the collar. Dude, get out of here. Keep the long hair, Don. Now, I appreciate Andrew saying that. First of all, I can grow my hair below the collar, but my hair gets wide and voluminous if I grow it long. But then I look at Andrew's picture, and he's a very well-groomed young man. He doesn't have a hair like Don.
Well, right now it's 57-43 in favor of yes, so it's close.
Yeah,
a lot of people are complimentary. Some don't like it. Somebody sent me a picture I haven't seen in a long time of, I think it's Gary Cohen in high school or college.
Oh, yeah.
I just
oh, yeah.
retweeted it.
It's unsettling.
Take a look at that, Peter.
Oh, my goodness.
Chance.
I mean, there was speaking of Doobie Brothers, right there.
Yeah, it's 420 every day. That Gary
I mean, but,
Cohen.
But Gary's hair, it's down around his shoulders. He must really miss his
hair. That's what I'm going
for. He doesn't have hair now.
You know what's interesting, though? Like, Don's hair, both now and in his mullet picture from the 80s,
right,
where he just dropped acid and done meth, even then, that haircut still sort of suits his personality. Like, this picture of Gary Cohen, nothing about it makes sense with what he seems like as a dude.
You know what? We have to get Gary on
again.
It's bizarre. We have to get Gary on and ask him specifically about this picture because it's so... not Gary Cohen.
It's so weird. Now, Don, can I ask you a question, though?
Yes.
You're not – it's not lost on you that the audience loves you and treats you well in all of our polls and things of that nature, right?
Right.
You're aware of that. So my question is, with it being as close as it is, 57-43, and you knowing how much
question.
The audience defers to you in the first place,
they
does it worry you? About what it's really saying about your hair.
No, because I'm doing it for me. I like it. So that's all that matters.
And, Michael, you know what I'm saying.
Some people picked up on my fantasy. My fantasy is that everything's going to be back to normal before the summer's out, and we're going to have our beach bash, and I'm going to perform some metal song.
Oh, yeah.
With my hair flying all over the place. That's what I want to do.
Would you actually think about cornrows?
No.
Okay. 1-800-919-3776. The Knicks have won 7 in a row, going for 8 tonight, which would put them in the number 4 slot in the Eastern Conference, which is really amazing if you think about it. Let's go to Eric in Long Island. Eric. Oh, no. What happened? Oh, that's unsettling. Wow.
A lot was going on there.
Wow. Let's go to Frankie in Cliffwood. Frankie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I hope all is well.
How you doing?
Good. On the road right now. It just started raining. Just wanted to say, Knicks fan is great. I'm 39, diehard fan my whole life, and this season has been amazing. I was at the Garden on Sunday. Those 2,000 people sounded like if it was a full arena. That's
so you're a huge Knicks fan, right, Frankie? So let me ask you a question
huge.
To be honest.
Back
okay?
from the 90s.
Did you
right.
think that this was possible with this team? Honestly.
Honestly, I didn't see us at 30, going on 32 wins tonight, hopefully. I saw experts had it, 15 to 20, I saw somewhere. You know, I was thinking somewhere 25 to 30, but for the fact that we're playing as well, you know, the credit to Tibbs. I mean, I think I saw an article somewhere that was saying, like, gets the most out of all his talent, and everyone's buying in. So
yeah, that's the key, Frankie. Everybody on the team is buying in. Everybody. I'm sure Spike in New Jersey is buying in. Spike.
This is great. This is just freaking great. And last night's game, I'm with you, Michael. I said Quinn Snyder was in the ring. Nobody's beaten this guy for that award, but that's just an award. The Hornets scored 66 points in the first half, 33 and 33. They scored less than that in the second half because he changed the defensive rotations. And I'll give you a real anomaly. R.J. Barrett couldn't hit the side of a barn, correct, in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
And Thibodeau pulls him out of the game when he missed two defensive assignments. He made four or five shots in the second half. He had, I think, no rebounds or one rebound and no assists. So what I'm saying is you get what you can out of the guy at the time. He guarded his men better. There were so many Kentucky guys on the court. P.J. Washington made five threes in a row, and that ended quickly. The way this guy makes defensive adjustments takes that rotten taste that I needed a 55-gallon drum of Listerine to get out of Hibbert stuff and mellow the last time they were in a big game. This is their biggest game in 9 years tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Spike, because there's so much riding on it. They haven't had an 8-game winning streak. A win tonight moves them ahead of the Hawks into fourth place. It's gigantic. Let's go to Omar in Brooklyn. Omar.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I am happy, but I want to ask you, Michael, first question. Didn't I talk to you 6 weeks? I can gloat about my Knicks. I'm so happy. I don't have to say anything bad about the Knicks now. I'm so happy. But Brooklyn Nets, didn't I tell you 6 weeks ago the injuries, they're going to get tougher, back-to-back situation. They are going to get injured, and look at this. You are expecting no James Harden up to the playoffs, most probably.
But Omar, there's no way you would have predicted. James Harden never gets hurt. There's no way you predicted that. He never gets hurt. He plays every game.
Why he didn't? Let me ask you. Why did I say that? Because he has not played defense for the last 5 years ever. He was playing defense. He wanted to show he played his all cards. He wanted to be a good guy in Brooklyn Nets. He was playing his tail off for Brooklyn Nets because he wanted to do the things right, what he did wrong, while he's he wanted to do it in front of the whole United States that he's a good guy. So he was playing hard. Suddenly he was playing before he was never played last 5 years defense in the Houston Rockets. So that's the difference. That's why. And I am telling you right now, for your sake, I want Brooklyn Nets. Not in the first round. I want to be 4th seed, beat the 5th seed, and I want Brooklyn in the second round. Because Kyrie Irving, if he plays alone for next 5 to 7 games and he takes a toll, you better be careful. Better manage the Kyrie Irving minutes because that's the only healthy body they have in the superstars. So, and I can guarantee you, I have not seen a title in years that a team with 3 superstars who have not played 15 or 20 games together, they have played only 7 games together. Mm-hmm. I cannot say they are not physically fit enough for a 2-month playoff groom. They have not. Physically, they are not. Mentally, they are weak. They can be a regular season team like the Yankees were for the last 3 years. They are not going to win a title. Write it down for me.
Well,
I am telling you.
If they're healthy,
Nets are not winning the title.
Well, first of all, the fact that you're saying that Harden didn't play defense for 5 years, they went to the 7th game of the Western Conference Finals. The Rockets did, what, 2-3 years ago? I'm sure he played really, really hard. The guy never got hurt. And for him to put that much effort into his offense, this is shock. Of all the injuries, this is shocking. It just is. And the fact that he had a setback yesterday is stunning. And if they don't get together and they're not healthy in the playoffs, you know what? They won't win. And then this whole experiment would have gone up in flames because I'll tell you, the performance team of the Nets – which is celebrated throughout the NBA, they said it would be a couple of games for Durant. He missed 23. Then they said this was a minor thing with Harden, came back on the court, re-injured it. Then they said he was ready to play sometime later in this week, set back yesterday. Their performance team has been wrong. So that's not a good thing either. And that's a highly vaunted Brooklyn Nets performance team. So I think they could get through the fact that they haven't played it all together. I do, as long as they're healthy. But if they're coming in and they have to, like, manage injuries and play with some management because of the fact that, you know, their hamstring's not right or their thigh's not right, then they won't win. I agree, they won't win. But if they're healthy, they will win.
Well, do we have any idea how the playoffs are going to be handled here? Is it going to be going back into a bubble?
No. No bubble.
No plan to.
No bubble.
But I don't think that they would be wise to stretch these series out like they do for television. They should try to play every other day.
No, I don't know if they'll do that. I think it's going to be a normal playoff series.
That's interesting, though, because the whole season has felt rushed and squeezed. But then the playoffs
That's
won't?
That's the title, by the way, of my 18th book.
I would just rushed be concerned squeeze, just because, yeah. You know, it's one thing to have these guys go into protocol, and we're already seeing, you know, games still being postponed in the NHL, where you don't want to have something like that happen in the playoffs. I was just asking because if you're going to have the normal way where you could have like 3-4 days off between games in the playoffs, especially in the first round for television, it's not going to be an issue. But if you're going to play every other day and you've already got KD not 100%, Harden may not play till the playoffs starts, and if they want to try to win as many games as they can, how much is going to be into Kyrie? It could affect them. It could, but if all three of these guys are healthy, they're not losing. But that's a major question. Will all three of them be healthy when we get to the playoffs when there's only 14 games left and Harden's out indefinitely?
It's unbelievable. When I saw that, I was getting ready to do the Yankee game. Then I saw you guys texting, and that you were saying I was stunned. Absolutely stunned. Again, this is supposed to be the best performance team in all of professional sports, and they cleared the guy. They cleared the guy twice already, and there have been huge setbacks. They cleared Durant a couple of times, 23 games he missed. So what's going on?
But I do think Omar's right, though. I think Harden really pushed it to be the guy to kind of make up for what happened, and he probably pushed his body too hard, having to carry this team by himself a lot of times when Kyrie and KD were out. That's what I think happened to him.
Very possible.
Maybe. I mean, people get hurt. He's getting older. People get hurt. I mean, we see it in baseball all the time. It's not even a sport that pushes the body like it does in football or in basketball. 1-800-919-3776. You know what? We still haven't given away the $500 in this hour. You think I should give it away now or wait? What do you think, Peter? I'm going to let you decide. Now or wait?
Now.
Really, now?
Yeah. I want to reward the people who are here right now.
All right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to find the sounder and hit it. See ya! See ya! See ya! We are celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in this month, the month of April. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $500 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Be listening every weekday in April during the 2 p.m. hour of the Michael Kay Show for your chance to win. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. If you've been waiting and waiting when we're going to give it away, you could thank Peter that it was early today. Because usually I like to push it right to about, you know, 257, something like that.
I was going to say, we don't have that much of a window right here.
Yeah, but 257 ensures that we're making everybody listen the entire hour. They don't know when we're going to hit this.
Well, do
Maybe
I mean
tomorrow we'll hit it early.
That's the thing. You have to keep people guessing. You can't do the same time every day.
You know, that's an excellent point. That's why you're very good at this radio stuff. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
This just came to me, Peter, and maybe this will convince Don.
All right.
You know who Don looks like right now? Bernie Madoff. That's who he looks like.
Oh, my. You got
Madoff in jail. That's what he looks like, with a mullet in the back and that grin. See, I just rip people off of billions of dollars.
Society says people with long hair are dangerous. They're drug addicts. They're metalheads. They're no good to society. I say, no, I could do a sports talk show. I don't have to be the Billy Joel loving, wearing the same outfit as everybody else, doing a talk show. No, I'm going to be the guy that does
that. That was a shot at Michael.
That loves metal. That has long hair. I'm going to grow it so long now, I'm never going to cut it. Never going to cut it. It's going to be right down my back.
The Michael Kay Show.
Don, you look absolutely handsome.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Now, before we put the Don's long hair to bed, how about this, Peter? I've come up with two more lookalikes.
All right.
And I think that these might convince Don to go to Kaleidoscope and get his haircut. You ready?
Okay.
Rex Ryan's brother, Rob, who Don hates when he's on camera all the time, looks just like that. And this is the worst one. You ready for this, Peter?
I'm waiting.
You sitting down?
I'm here.
All right. Steve Bannon. Who looks like he's, you know, gone through a car wash three times without
so
soap.
That's what I look like. Listen, I got to tell you.
You don't want this.
Bannon's hair is the least of his problems.
But he's got your
look
hair.
Standpoint.
Bannon's hair is your hair.
Peter, help me out here. I'm not trying to be political. But Bannon is one ugly dude. Like, he could have his hair styled to perfection.
You know, listen.
He's still not a good-looking guy.
I don't like to tip my hand politically.
No, you never have.
I don't think anybody knows how I feel about Steve Bannon. But he's not what you want to be compared to physically.
So that's not even a political statement. That's just how he looks. You don't like how he looks.
But I think the hair's the least of it.
Well, he's got a splotchy face and everything. He looks like he hasn't showered in forever. But, you know, the hair looks like your hair. I'm sorry. So vote now at TMKS ESPN on Twitter.
But here's the thing. With him, with Bannon, with Rob Ryan, like, the hair's all over the place. I've got it styled nice.
Okay.
You may not like the style, but it's not all over the place. Hey, listen, teach your own. You can be generic sports announcer. At least Peter's got his own look.
Thank you.
You're just like generic sports announcer.
Whose look do I have?
Yeah, everybody.
You try to look like everybody else. You're trying to fit in.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
And everything that you do, the music you listen to, the things you say.
You
know what? I'm that guy.
Everybody loves the Partridge Family. I'm really fitting in. That's the most ridiculous thing you've ever said.
Build Me Up, Buttercup? Come on.
Yeah, that's a big, big song that everybody
loves. It is a big song. It's huge.
But it's not. But I've liked
it forever. It's a karaoke staple,
Mike. I sang it at
my
wedding.
The fact that you think that's going outside the, thinking outside the box shows you how deep in the box you are.
Yeah, but okay, so I don't like Slayer. I actually like my music with words and emotion.
No, but you like the music that most people, and I love Billy Joel, but you don't have, like, there's not a lot of range musically for you. You kind of like what everybody else likes. You wear your clothes
no, like
and your hair
like.
The way everybody else wears
he
it.
He thinks you're
you
a yo-yo.
You kind of do things in a standard way, and it's working for you. I am the guy that just likes to just go to the beat of his own drum.
Matt Flaherty goes that Don looks like Ron Jeremy. I'm not even going to say who Ron Jeremy is, but that's not a compliment.
We all know.
Again, his hair and everything else is all over the place.
Well, Doug Desane said, wow, Don's hair is almost as long as Peter's arm hair.
That's just basic.
And inaccurate. Like I said, I want to be my own person. If you want to be like everybody else, that's fine.
I don't want to be. First of all, I'm not like everybody else. I'm different. Anyway, moving on. Knicks have won 7 in a row. Tough loss for the Rangers last night. Gritty comeback by the Devils. They lose. Nets win. The Knicks are going for 8 in a row, which would put them into the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, which is absolutely stunning. And we'll have Mike Breen on to talk about that at 4:30, the voice of the NBA. And the Yankees broke a 5-game losing streak yesterday. So they didn't score runs in bunches. They didn't get a lot of hits. The biggest hit was by Gio Urshela, which gave the Yankees a 1-1 tie at that time. Hit it into Monument Park. And then they loaded the bases in the eighth inning, and they're waiting for the big hit, and it never came. The go-ahead run scored on a wild pitch. Then the bases were reloaded, and the third run was scored on a Mike Ford walk on 4 pitches. So the Yankees didn't get the big hit yesterday. They didn't break open a game. But don't just dismiss the win, because one thing that I thought was really important for them is that Jameson Taillon looked very, very good. His stuff is ticking up every single time he's out there. He got to 80 pitches. They had him pitch 5 innings. Fastball sitting around 93, 94, sometimes 95. Good breaking ball. Good command. And the thing that, and I've warned you about this since they got both of these guys, the thing with Kluber and Taillon, it's going to be a work in progress. Unfortunately for the Yankees, as they are progressing into being full-fledged starters, the offense has disappeared. So maybe they wouldn't be looking as badly as they've looked if the Yankees had scored some runs and won some games by a score of 8-5. So any mistake the Yankees make, the offense can't pick them up. But don't go to sleep on the fact That was five strong innings by Tyone yesterday, and the bullpen once again was outstanding. And tonight, we'll see exactly what Corey Kluber has if he continues to progress and tick up as well. But, you know, remember that old commercial, thanks, I needed that? Boy, did they need that win, no matter how they got it. Doesn't solve their offensive woes. And we gave you the lineup before. Hicks is back in the lineup. Clint Frazier, who made a big out with runners on second and third, he's back in the lineup. Mike Ford is in the lineup again at first base. Brett Gardner's not in the lineup. So the offense still struggling, still trying to find its way. But when you get great pitching, Don, I've always said this, you've said it as well, pitching's kind of a great deodorant. You know, the Mets don't score a lot of runs yet. You mentioned earlier, Lindor hasn't hit, Conforto hasn't hit. But they, you know, they've got a representative record because they've gotten great pitching. Great pitching wipes away everything. Wipes away bad defense, wipes away bad offense. The Yankees haven't had great pitching except for when Gerrit Cole pitches. Last night, they got a really solid outing from a starter and outstanding pitching once again from their bullpen.
Now, they're being careful with him, obviously, right? He only threw 80 pitches.
Yes.
So the hope is you can get a little bit more length because, again, when you pitch, you know, if Kluber's going to go out there and give you four innings like he has, well, then that's back-to-back days. You've had to go deep into your bullpen.
Right.
What I took from it was, listen, we can criticize the offense. They didn't get the big hit. But listen, in the eighth inning, they put themselves in the situation they were in by getting three straight hits. They were singles, but they loaded the bases by getting hits. And then he forced the Braves into mistakes. And I know Acuna's out of the lineup, Michael, but this Brave team doesn't look like a championship caliber team right now. So that's good news for the Mets.
And they don't have a great bullpen either.
No, they don't. And I think that, you know, some of you're starting to see some of the warts that I think people kind of predicted when they had the Braves maybe not winning this division and maybe not even finishing as a playoff team. But you got to get the wins where you can get them. That's it. And you got to go out and do it again the next day and then just continue to do it. You're still under 500. You know, the Rays won. The Red Sox won. So they're still continue to put the pressure. But you get them where you can. And now Hicks is back in the lineup. He had a big walk, you know, to get on base. So, you know, go out there, and now he knows if he doesn't hit, then he might be back out of the lineup again. So now he gets some hits tonight, and maybe he can keep himself in the lineup, and then just kind of go from there.
Now,
there's
how
no style
this?
Points. When you're 5-10, Michael, there's no style points.
No, you take it. You take it whenever you can get it, and they're 6-10 now. And Gio Urshela, who has hit well, he's one of the Yankees that has hit since the beginning of the season. He's moved up to cleanup tonight. He has 29 home runs with the Yankees, Don and Peter. 12 of them have either tied a game or given them the lead. So those are big home runs.
Sure they are.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris.
Hey, man. How are you, Mike?
Great. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Don, Peter, my boys. I called in last week about the bullpen and about the pitchers not having the length and you were going to shoot out the bullpen. Mm-hmm. But other question today is, okay, I'm a Yankee fan since 1970.
Okay.
Why did I know that Mike Ford was the answer to play first base, and why did they bring in Jay Bruce and Derek Dietrich and do this dog and pony show when the guy's there the whole time? He's a lefty in Yankee Stadium, and he plays good defensive first base.
Well, I think the answer, Chris, and I'm just guessing because no one's told me this, I think the answer is he didn't have a good year last year in the shortened season, and they were a little disappointed.
Right.
They felt that he wasn't really in the perfect shape either, and you're right. They were going for Jay Bruce's resume, who had 315-plus home runs, and they thought he would play well at Yankee Stadium, and the versatility of Dietrich, who's still, by the way, at the alternate site. But you're right, they turned to Ford. But don't fall in love with Ford here, though, Chris, because when Luke Voit comes back, Luke Voit's your first baseman.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying as your backup first baseman like he was in 2019, it wasn't such a bad idea.
Well, you're right, once Luke Voit got hurt, but he's not going to be a backup first baseman because with a bench of three or four players, you can't tie it up with a guy who could just play first base or DH. You've got to have maneuverability. You've got to have some people that are versatile. And Mike Ford can play first base, and he can DH, and that's it. So unless he goes off on a tear here and really, you know, hits like 10 home runs before the middle of May when Luke Voit's expected to come back, I don't know where Mike Ford fits other than, you know, you just hold on to him in case somebody gets hurt again. Let's go to Dave in Rochelle Park. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Glad to talk to you. I was going to talk about the Yankees, but when you had Ron Bloomberg on, I was telling the guy I met him at a golf outing, and I shook his hand, and he almost broke my hand.
Yeah, he's
I mean, the guy's
dude.
Full of energy. He's a great guy. He's running around like he's a teenager, and I was amazed how strong he is. It's unbelievable. And when I was a kid, like 12 years old, my father said, he's going to be a great ball player if he stops running into the wall. If you guys remember that, he used to catch him and just run to the wall all the time. But he's a real good guy. I hope his book does well. And I just wanted to say about the Yankees, I think Iggy should be the catcher, and they need a different shortstop, and I'll leave it at that. Thanks a lot.
But you know, one thing, you can't blame the starter on Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez has played well. He's played well behind the plate. Yeah, here's the deal. I like Kyle Higashioka a lot, Don. Yesterday was his birthday. He's 31 years old. Everybody acts like you're putting a kid back there. He's older, much older than Gary Sanchez.
Well, they can't fall in love with Gary. It's going to take a long time because of what they've gone through. But he's off to a good start.
Yeah. Ripper, he deserves it when he's hitting 147 last year, but he hasn't been a problem this year at all.
Listen, before it was Romine, now it's Higashioka.
It's
right?
always
it's not
the
even
backup
about
catcher,
those guys.
The backup quarterback is always the most popular guy.
Right. It's just being anti-Gary and being frustrated with Gary, and I get it, but you know what? Just you're going to have to live with the fact that they're going to continue to let him play, and so far he's doing all right. The Yankees are not in the situation they're in because of Gary.
Let's go to Anthony in Queens. Anthony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Big fan of the show, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Quick question. I haven't heard anybody question the Yankees hitting coaches. You know, if they're going to be held accountable or possibly make a change because, you know, what they're doing now isn't working.
But it's funny, Ant. Is Marcus Thames in the batting, batter's box? People make hitting coaches out to be like the offensive coordinator
in football.
But
why are they there then?
No. They put the plan in place. And so if this was like the first year of Marcus Thames and P.J. Pelletier, who's his assistant, and it wasn't working out, then okay. The Yankees have set records for home runs with these guys. All of a sudden, they forgot how to do their job?
In this situation, but that's always the answer. When somebody calls up and complains about the hitting coach when a team is struggling, it's like, well, is he the one batting? Is he the one? He serves a purpose. They have jobs.
Yeah, but I think what Anthony is saying, Don, you know, the Yankees approach. The Yankee approach is exactly what the organization wants it to be. These are the players that required. They want them to hit home runs. That's what Marcus Thames and P.J. Pelletier teach. That's what they teach. They're not teaching these guys to hit the other way. You know why? Because the Yankees don't want them to go the other way.
But I do think the game plan should change with this being as selective because I don't think that serves a purpose anymore. Pitchers don't pitch long. It used to be work up the pitch count, get on base, and that's fine. They're getting guys on base. They're just not getting the big hit, and there's a lot of good pitches. I'm watching the game right now. Harper, first pitch, bang, home run. Right, you see that a lot. Just the best pitch you get might be the first pitch. Well, you take it for a strike, and then that pitcher's in command. Start swinging. Counts doesn't work anymore for me.
Mike Ford swung at the first pitch three times, made out. Aaron Judge, who has more 3-2 counts, I think, than anybody in baseball, he swung at the first pitch yesterday as well. I would agree with you. But this has been the approach for a long time. I think people throw strikes now, and they know they're going to get early strikes on the Yankees because they're just going to take it. They want to work the count. And as you said the other day, well, work the count for what? So you can get into the bullpen and have a guy throw 100 miles an hour? There's no more underbelly of a bullpen.
Right.
The worst guy in the bullpen throws 97 miles an hour. You're not getting a respite by getting the starter out of there. You're just not.
No, because teams are itching to get the starter out anyway.
Yeah, you almost want to keep the starter in there. Keep a low pitch count, see him for the third time, and whack him around. What do you think? It's time for this day in Yankee history. You think that Andrew completely messed it up again?
Well, this is going to be amazing.
You feel good about it?
Oh, very good about it.
All right, Steve, we'll see. 1-800-919-3776. Let's take a look at this day in Yankee history brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Not Bobby Mondavi, Robert Mondavi.
Sure.
So we go back to 2003. Oftentimes we joke on this show about the Yankees' dominance over the Minnesota Twins, but sometimes we forget just how long this has been going on. On this day in 2003, the Yankees beat Minnesota 15-1 thanks to a grand slam from Alfonso Soriano and two home runs from Nick Johnson. The win finished off a four-game sweep with the Twins and was New York's 13th straight W against them, out-homering them 31-3 in that stretch. I'd like to give you my glove and let you try to face that lineup, Minnesota starter Rick Reed told reporters after giving up a career-high 11 runs. David Wells got the win in this one for New York. As a side note, you might remember that Wells pitched the perfect game back in 1998. And who'd that come against? You guessed it. The Minnesota Twins. Very wordy. I'm not sure I liked it.
Wow. First of all, it's a great one, but I love he put his personality behind that. He owned that. He took ownership of it.
Yeah, I think that in the glorious 27-time championship history of the Yankees, you could come up with something better on April 21st of 2003 than that. That's disturbing. That's just a
what
Yankee
did he have
history.
To choose from?
A lot of stuff.
Well, you don't know.
Okay.
There was nothing.
Okay.
No, truly. Truly.
Well, let's see. Let's see.
Well, listen,
let's
I know
see.
The Yankees are great, but it's not like something happened great every single day of their existence.
Okay. Let's see. Well, first of all, Joe McCarthy's birthday. He was born in 1887, Hall of Fame manager. The Yankees and the Giants play an exhibition game at the Polo Grounds to benefit survivors of the Titanic. Giants went 11-2. $9,425.25 is raised. Because it's for charity, the game was allowed to be played on a Sunday, which normally wouldn't be allowed in New York at the time. That's one thing. 2010, Don, Phil Hughes takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning in Oakland, but Eric Chavez hit a leadoff infield single that bounced off Hughes' arm. Yankees still won 3-1.
Now that one, the Titanic one, though, Peter, is interesting, right?
It's they're all interesting, Don.
2018, after getting off to a 9-9 start to the season and falling 7.5 games behind the 17-2 Red Sox, Yankees beat the Blue Jays 9-1 at Yankee Stadium, fueled by a 7-run sixth inning, which the Yankees only had one extra base hit, a double. It would be the start of a 9-game winning streak and a 17-1 run overall at the end of which the Yankees would be atop the AL East. That's better than the droning Minnesota Twins one that Andrew put
up. But the Twins, it's a thing, though. The 13 straight against them. I mean, come on.
That's just, I mean, it's troubling. Andrew, maybe hand this off to Anthony. He's a big Yankee fan. He'll do a better job.
Well, where did you just get these ones that you rattled
James
off?
James Smythe and Jeff Quagliata, who are our information gurus at Yes, they have thousands of them.
You got to put me in touch because I use a website. The two moments that were listed today were horrifying. They weren't even Yankee related. I don't know why they were listed as Yankee moments. So then I have to go fishing myself. I go through every box score from over a course of years until I find something that is somewhat interesting to me.
Well, Anthony, just on his memory alone, would come up with better stuff than you. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. The people at Robert Mondavi have also told me that when you get This Day in Yankee History like this, he is Bobby Mondavi on that day because they want to be stealth.
I think this was a good one, seriously.
No, but you know what? Because I don't, so obviously you disagree with me. Right, Rob? Anyway, the 2021 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 29th, and 98.7 ESPN is celebrating the return of football with the Draft Challenge. By correctly predicting the results of the first 11 picks, you could win the jersey of your favorite team's first pick. To enter, text DRAFT, D-R-A-F-T, to 44202, followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. Now, we're going to assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets pick. If you think there will be a trade, just use the word trade for that pick. It's all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. Always a very popular guest. People love him. They love him at parties. They love him on the show. That's the great Mike Breen. He joins us in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I was thinking, the Knicks are red hot right now, so they won 7 in a row. Tonight they play the Hawks, they're going for 8 in a row. And I guess the one positive about rooting for a team that's been so bad for so long, I don't think there's a Knicks fan that's out there that is not enjoying this run because they're not good enough to win a championship. Think about that. Yankee fans, they're not even satisfied when a team makes the playoffs anymore. That's secondary. They have to win the World Series. And I understand because that's the way they were indoctrinated into their Yankee fandom by the owner of the team starting in 1973. And that's why they strive all the time to win a championship. And, you know, the saying has been, you know, unless, if you don't win a championship, the season's a failure. But that doesn't apply for this Knicks team. I think they're to a man and woman, everybody is elated. That's a Knicks fan this year. Elated. And they have no chance to win the title. None. Now, I had said a couple of months ago they had no chance to win a first-round series. If they finish fourth or fifth, I think they can easily win a first-round series. I don't think they could beat the Sixers, the Nets, or the Bucks. So they'd have to face one of them in the second round in all likelihood. But they can win a first-round series if they finish fourth or fifth. And if they beat the Hawks tonight, you know what? They are going to be in fourth place. They still have a tough road trip ahead. But just think about the way fan bases are constituted, where a Knicks fan could actually sit back, watch the game on MSG, luxuriate in the fact that this is an overachieving, gritty team, and love it. Now, if the Yankees, you know, grind out a win tonight against the Braves, everybody's going to be worrying, well, can they win a World Series? So their fan base is completely different than the Knicks fan base, but maybe the Knicks fan base has been damaged by the 20 years of horrid basketball. But whatever the case may be, they're happy this year, Don. They're really happy this year.
And that's really the only fan base out of the nine that really conducts themselves that way, are the Yankees, where you can't appreciate quality in the regular season unless you go out there and win a championship. It's a team that in 18 and 19 won a combined 203 games. I don't think a Yankee fan enjoyed a second of it because they didn't win the World Series.
Right.
But right now, I mean, you know, maybe the net fan is in that stratosphere now because the team is so good that I don't think, you know, losing in the conference final is going to satisfy them. But they certainly are enjoying this because how often has they been this good? And, you know, I think Ranger fans are getting a little impatient, but I think they realize that they're in a part of a process here. The Islanders are banging on the door, but it's the first time they've done that. I mean, really, it's the Yankee fan that really cannot enjoy runs like what the Knicks are on because they've been there, done that. Now they got to go win the championship. But what I'm kind of curious, Michael, if they end up having a quality road trip,
mm-hmm.
where they beat the Clippers, they beat the Lakers with LeBron James and Davis in the lineup, could you see this fan base maybe pivoting and start to actually believe they could win a championship?
Well, I don't think – there's no way they could think that. But they could actually have a good road trip. I mean, they're going to face the Clippers, and they might not have to face Kawhi Leonard, who's out again with some kind of injured foot. So don't pencil them into having a terrible road trip right now because the way they're playing right now, they could beat good teams. Now, can they beat the great teams that need to win a game? I don't know. We'll see. Do the Clippers really need to win that game when they face them? I think that they, forget about their fans, Don, the way they're playing right now and their belief in Thibodeau and his principles and his process, they think they could beat anybody. I don't know if they could beat anybody 4 out of 7, but they could beat anybody in their mind.
No, and they should think that way. I just kind of go back because we've been dealing with the Knicks. That's why I really appreciate their fans, is because there have been times where the Knicks have been completely irrelevant. But yet, still a topic of conversation on the show because fan base will still call and they'll still be into it even though the team's bad, right? And they don't necessarily give up on their team either, which does happen a lot of times with other teams where they're just fed up, they're not going to root for the team anymore. How many times do you take calls from Jet fans, I'm done with this team? You never hear that with the Knicks. They're with their team, win or lose. But the one thing I've noticed about them, going back to where, hey, Jeremy Lin's going to the Hall of Fame. If you remember in 2013, they beat the Heat 3 out of 4 times in the regular season. So the feeling was they can beat the Heat, they can win a championship, even though we knew that 54-win team wasn't good enough to win a championship. But I think if they have a good road trip, if they finish as the 4 seed, Michael, I think there will be some Knicks fans, as delusional as it may be, to start really believing that this team might be able to make some hay. You know, they've beaten the Lakers, they've beaten the Bucks, they've hung with the Nets. Now, to do it 4 times in 7, Peter, is I think an impossibility, not because of any disrespect to the team. It's just I don't think it's at that level. But you don't think there'll be some Knicks fans, if they finish as the 4 seed, that are going to go, we're going to beat the Hawks, and we're going to – and look out, Nets. We had a call earlier today. I want the Nets because they're not going to be a full complement of players. They will be Knicks fans that will believe this team can make a run.
Yeah, I mean, Omar's a crazy man. We know this. But I don't think any of it's truly crazy, though. I mean, yes, if you expect the Knicks to compete for a championship, you need to calm down. But if this team has showed you enough grit, heart, determination to make you believe you can compete in the playoffs, that's how you should feel. You should be hoping you get to knock somebody off and maybe have an upset. Now, to me, I think the ultimate success for this team, where I'd be thrilled if I was a Knicks fan, would be you get Atlanta in the first round, you win, and then you win a couple of games off the Nets in the second round and compete. To me, that would be tremendous. You don't want to – I think it would be tough to have a great year. Even if you get past the first round, to be swept by Brooklyn would be tough to take. But realistically, guys, this is all bonus, isn't it?
I think so.
No, I think so, too.
It's the way I look at it.
But I just have that feeling that there will be high expectations because, let's face it, they beat the Hawks, right? And now you got the Nets in the second round. And what if Harden's not 100%? What if they announce that KD can't play every game or there's question marks about that or Kyrie's got to take another leave of absence? Listen, I know that sounds crazy, but if you're not going to play all three at once, I mean, and
why not?
Why not? And then who knows who's left? Is it the Bucks? Well, look at the Bucks were beaten in the second round last year, and the Sixers. Yeah, all I'm saying is that they put themselves in a conversation here, where anything seems to be possible because we were not that long ago we thought finishing sixth was not going to happen, and now I think you'd be disappointed if it didn't.
I think you'd be disappointed if they have to play in the play-in.
Oh, I think you'd be red hot. That would almost be the equivalent of missing the playoffs a couple of weeks ago. If they've got to play in the play-in, because the way they're playing right now, listen, the Heat are getting healthy. Celtics are playing better, but they've distanced themselves a little bit here from the Hornets. I think falling to the play-in would be a disappointment. I think finishing fourth is going to be tough because, again, that road trip can still be humbling to them. But if they have to play in the play-in, I think you'd have a right to be disappointed if you're a Knicks fan.
1-800-919-3776. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2x London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Let's go to Eric in Queens. Eric, let's talk.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I am a big Nets fan, and I am very happy with Kyrie playing and being healthy right now, it seems, because he's the only one. I just wanted to respond to Omar. I know you guys, Don, just mentioned him 2 minutes ago. He wanted to play the Nets. He wants the Nets, and I understand that, and I respect that to an extent, that, like, you want to face the best. But let's be honest here, and I looked at it. The Knicks this season, and I love what the Knicks are doing. I'm not a Knicks hater. I appreciate the hard work because as a Nets fan, that's what got us to this point, is the hard work. That's how you build, and I agree with you guys. But they are 11-18 this season against teams above 500. Now, the Hornets are now a little below 500, but they're not a particularly good team. I did it. 29 games against teams above 500. They're 11-18 against them. Included in that is a win against Milwaukee when they rested everyone and their best player was Antetokounmpo's brother, and the Lakers when they were completely decimated after they played the Nets.
Yep.
They didn't have anyone playing. So that is 11-18, 9 wins quality, I guess, if you want to do that. And that's not good enough to, like, compete with the Nets. The Nets will wipe the floor with them if they're healthy. I just, like, there needs to be a little respect shown. And the Knicks have played well, and good for them, but they are not this, like, elite team. Omar was, like, ripping on the Nets and saying he loves that Harden's injured and he knew that this was going to happen. Come on. They're a great team.
Eric,
With Kyrie Irving this season, they're 3-3 with only Kyrie this season. I'm looking at it. With Harden and Kyrie, they're 14-3. With Durant and Irving, they're 2-2. They're over 500 or 500 with any combination. They are a very, very strong team.
Eric, I love the fact that you listen when Omar was on and that you can't stop Omar. You can only hope to contain him.
That's right.
The Nets, with two of the three, would destroy the Knicks. And with one of the three, probably would beat the Knicks as well. The Knicks would have a better chance, but two of the three, there's no chance. So Omar could root for the Nets all he wants, but he did say he thinks they're all going to be hurt. So that's why he wants the Nets. But also, let's not give total hate to the Claxtons and the Landry Shamets and the other players that they have on the team. So let the Nets are a good team. Even the guys that aren't the superstars, they're a good team. So Omar could want the Nets all he wants. Be careful what you wish for, because they would destroy the Knicks, especially if they had all three of the guys. Let's go to Chris in Lodi. Chris.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. Thank you so much for taking my call, guys.
You got it.
So I actually wanted to talk. So I'm a Yankee fan, not a Knicks fan, even though I am happy for the Knicks fans that are happy with this winning streak. But I was actually going to talk to Don's point where he was talking about how Yankee fans couldn't appreciate the 203 wins in 2 years, which he's 100% right. I did not enjoy those because we didn't end up with a championship. But I think that's more of a detriment to the other teams in the area, that we should be striving to be those kind of fans. You know, like, for example, Boston's had a great success these last 10, 15 years in all of their sports, and they would get upset when their teams don't win. We shouldn't strive to be the teams that are happy over a 7-game winning streak that might end in a 5th-place finish, which is great for the Knicks now, but we should strive to be the city that, hey, when we have all these teams that win all the time, we're mad when we don't win. And
yeah, but you don't win. But here's the difference, Chris. The Yankees don't win all the time. All right. So when does the standard change? I understand if you're a Yankee fan winning 4 championships in 5 years with the core 4 and all that, or the team back in the 70s that won back-to-back titles and 3 straight World Series appearances. This team hasn't done that in a decade. So when do you recalibrate and start to appreciate it? Because it's been a decade now. It's been over a decade. And if you go back to the last time they won before 2009 was in 2000. So in the last 20 years, you have 1 championship. So stop walking around acting like it's supposed to be some sort of rite of passage that you play in the World Series every year and that you win a championship every year. Sorry, the Yankees have been a constant playoff team. Maybe that's the difference. But from saying that it's championship or bust, then in the last 20 years, Michael, they've been disappointed 19 of the 20 years. So why do they keep comparing themselves to the 70s teams and to the teams that won 4 championships in 5 years? They're not that. So why can't you recalibrate and start being like every other fan? Why are they being measured to the greatness of other teams? What has this team accomplished that they should be compared to the Derek Jeter Yankees or the Reggie Jackson Yankees or the Mickey Mantle Yankees?
But it's hard to recalibrate and forget the organization that you're rooting for. You're right, they haven't won since 2009, but there have been a lot of championships in most of their lives. I mean, they've had 5 championships since 96, so that's what they expect. And they demand the excellence. But because you demand that, sometimes you take some of the joy away from yourself. 103 wins in an injury-ravaged season should be something that you celebrate.
But, you know, those teams proved that they could win. So when you lost with Derek Jeter in 2003, you were shocked, right? Because you're supposed to win. You lose to the Angels in 2002, you're supposed to win because that team has won and accomplished things. But outside of Brett Gardner, Michael, who's a championship guy on that team wearing a Yankee uniform?
Well, that's it.
Nobody.
That's all they have.
So why is Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Hicks and Garrett Cole being compared to the guys that won? His team hasn't won anything yet.
Well, they're not being compared to them. They're expecting that they should win. I mean, they have a $205 million payroll, and fans have the right to think that that's good enough to field the championship team. So if they don't get it, they're disappointed. I understand what they're doing. That's the way they've been brought up.
All right, well, I'm just saying, how long do you go without winning before you realize maybe just appreciate the journey?
Well, you know what? Unless the Yankees cut their payroll to like what the Tampa Bay Rays have, and then you could be the little engine that could. The Yankees are never going to be the little engine that could. And as long as they're not the little engine that could, then the expectation is to win a title. They're not winning a title. Fans aren't thrilled.
But those are the same ones that when you even suggest the fact that they bought their championships, they freak out. So I just don't understand that when you win 1 championship in 20 years, you're supposed, well, it's a championship or not. That's a lot of failure. So when do you kind of just, you know, change it up and just kind of appreciate what you're getting from them? Because I don't know why you expect a championship from these guys when none of them have won anything.
Well, 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential on Thursday, May 6th. We're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in baseball, featuring A-Rod, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney, and it's all hosted by Don LaGreca. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball, and we'll also give away some great prizes. It's a really, really good giveaway. So score your VIP access. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. Again, be the first caller right now at 888-987-3776. Clubhouse Confidential is presented by PC Richard & Son and, of course, by 98.7 ESPN. A lot of people on hold. Kyle, Michael, Ross, Rob, everybody else. We'll get to you. Take more phone calls. You know the number, 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.